the Patriots win big in Denver and start to pull away from the pack in the AFC East. That's five consecutive wins for the Patriots after an uneven 2-2 start. Are they now the favorites for the top seed and home field advantage? It's Monday, November 13th. I'm Chris Gasper, and this is Season Ticket. Welcome to Season Ticket, a daily podcast from the Boston Globe Sports Department and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Well, it looks like the bye week certainly did the Patriots a lot of good. Sunday night in Denver, the Patriots delivered a dominating performance against the Broncos, dismantling them by a score of 41-16. A big highlight of the night was from the Patriots' special teams. Deion Lewis was on the receiving end of a Denver kickoff in the first quarter. He caught it 3 yards deep in the Patriots' end zone and went with it.
Here comes Lewis. Lewis down the sideline. Lewis still on his feet. And he will be not tackled. And if he stays in bounds, and he does, it is a touchdown. That's 103 yards.
That made it 14-3 Patriots, and there was no looking back from there with Tom Brady and the boys. Brady threw three touchdown passes, the final one coming in the fourth quarter as he connected with trusted running back James White.
Brady slides left, throws touchdown. James White into the end zone.
The Patriots are now 7-2 and playing their best football of the season. To help me break down their success, Ben Volen, senior NFL writer for the Boston Globe, now joins us via Skype from Denver. Ben, welcome to Season Ticket.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Denver was not the house of horrors that it usually has been for the Patriots.
Yeah, normally it is a mile-high house of horrors. The Patriots certainly dominated in this one, and it's the first time since 1964, 65, 66, when they won three straight times in Denver. That was in the old AFL, that the Patriots have back-to-back victories in Denver. It's been a tough place to play over the years. It certainly was not last night, and you wrote about one of the big reasons why: special teams. As we mentioned, that kickoff return for a touchdown from Deion Lewis. There was also a block punt from Rex Burkhead. A muffed punt early in the game by the Broncos led to the Patriots' first touchdown. And then there was a 12-man on the field penalty on a punt that set up another Patriots touchdown. I'm not good at math, Ben, but I think that's 24 points that special teams contributed to.
Yeah, unbelievable. And I think we were saying to each other last night as we were walking out of the stadium, it felt like after the Broncos muffed that punt early in the game that the game was over. That just was such a bad omen for the Broncos to start the game. And, you know, this is not the Broncos team we're used to. The Patriots scored points, I think, on seven straight drives last night. So the defense did not hold up their end of the bargain. But absolutely, special teams were the difference in this game. Rex Burkhead coming up with the punt block. It was the Patriots' first punt block since 2014. But they've tipped a kick now in three straight games. They got a field goal. They blocked one, they tipped another one that was missed, and then they blocked a punt. So they've been getting their hand on the football, scoring touchdowns. They scored points on special teams in consecutive games. They forced that safety on the punt return against the Chargers a couple weeks ago. So Joe Judge and Bubba Ventrone, the two special teams coaches, have been doing really a phenomenal job. We all know that Belichick puts more emphasis on that phase of the game probably than any other coach. And it was funny, I was talking to Brandon King after the game last night. He's one of the core special teams players. You know, I said, how much do you guys practice special teams? He's like, we practice it so much that sometimes guys stand around and are like, why are we practicing this? How could this possibly come up in a game? And last night is why. Their attention to detail, it paid off in a big way last night.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And also you see with the extra week of preparation, just how much more prepared the Patriots were with Bill Belichick than the Denver Broncos were with rookie head coach Vance Joseph. And as you hit on it, look, special teams has been a theme here during this five-game winning streak, particularly in the last three games. Special teams, you know, it's a lot of times you look at and you think, okay, offense, defense, and then special teams is kind of down the list. Belichick definitely doesn't look at it that way. He is a former special teams coach. It's sort of one of the ways he came into the league when he first got to the New York Giants and was there with Bill Parcells. He was coaching linebackers and special teams. So you know at his core, it had to warm Bill Belichick's heart to see the way that they played last night. Something else that probably warmed his heart, Ben, was the play of his defense. Once again, they held an opponent under 20 points. During this five-game winning streak, they're allowing 13.4 points per game. What happened to that much-maligned Patriots defense we saw early in the season that couldn't stop quarterbacks from getting 300 yards passing and couldn't stop teams from getting 400 yards of offense? Now, three straight games under 400 yards of total offense for the opponent.
Well, it certainly helps to play Brock Osweiler, but to your point, the Patriots defense has done a much better job, because earlier in the year, they were giving up 300 yards to Josh McCown. So it's not like they were getting torn apart every week by Joe Montana. So they've just done a nice job of tightening up the secondary, I think. You still saw some issues with Malcolm Butler last night. Emmanuel Sanders had his way with him on several occasions where, you know, outfighting him for the ball or just turning Malcolm Butler completely around. But, you know, having Stephon Gilmore back in the secondary, he made a couple nice plays last night. Kyle Van Noy seems to be doing a really nice job stepping in for Dante Hightower, getting the guys lined up. Devin McCourty plays a big role in that as well. The things that were going on with the defense early in the season, I thought that was correctable and it wasn't going to be sustainable. You know, when guys are running free and having communication breakdowns, like, that's not talent. That's just coaching, and that's guys just not being up to date, you know, with how they want to play the defense. And you knew that the Patriots are going to spend extra time on that stuff and get it figured out. And I think they're playing a lot more like the defense from last year, where they're still not a top-end defense, but they're a lot better than number 32 in what a lot of the stats say. They're more of a middle-of-the-road defense. I still wish they got a little more pressure on Brock Osweiler last night. They didn't really get in his face too often, but they just made the Broncos piece together these 10, 12-play drives, and Brock Osweiler wasn't able to do it. And before that, Phillip Rivers and Matt Ryan weren't really able to do that.
Yeah, you hit on something there, Ben, in terms of making people string together these long drives. That's the Patriots' MO. That's what Belichick wants to do. He wants to make the other team earn it. I think they're back to that bend but don't break defense. I think aesthetically, you're never going to look at this defense and say, ooh, that reminds me of the 1985 Chicago Bears or the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. But the proof is in the pudding, and the proof is in the points allowed. And 13.4 in the last five games, you do that with Tom Brady as your quarterback, you're going to win a lot of football games in the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt. And the Patriots had 27 points at halftime last night, and it just felt like game over. There's no way that the Broncos with Brock Osweiler and the way the Patriots defense is playing that they're going to be able to put up 27 points. And that's what this Patriots program the last few years has really been predicated on, Chris. It's having a great offense with Tom Brady. You know they're going to hit at least 30 points every night. And then the defense just has to be good enough. They don't need to be ball hawks and getting after the quarterback every play. They just need to be good enough in steadying their assignments and not giving up 75-yard touchdowns to Kareem Hunt. And if they can keep the team to 24 points or below, the Patriots have a pretty good chance of winning, because you know that Tom Brady, it's pretty hard to keep him under 24 points.
You knew it was the Patriots' night, Ben, when Dwayne Allen, who didn't have a catch all year, caught a touchdown in this one against the Broncos.
Brady from the gun on second down and 10 from the 11. Denver with a four-man rush. Brady in the pocket. Pass the ball again. Pass it again. Throws the ball that will be caught by Grunt. Caught at the goal line. That is a touchdown to Dwayne Allen.
Christmas came a little early for Dwayne Allen. Good to see him get off the schneid last night when, obviously, eight games without a catch. Finally grabbed an 11-yard touchdown last night. Gotta love that. Tom Brady hit nine different receivers last night, too. So it's good to see him spreading the ball around. He doesn't get locked in on any one receiver. And getting the running backs involved, too. Seeing Rex Burkhead and Deion Lewis kind of carry the freight last night. That was good for the Patriots, because you need guys like that to step up and be able to carry a game when maybe Brandon Cooks and Rob Gronkowski aren't being as dominant.
One thing I do want to hit on here, they scored touchdowns four times in six trips in the red zone. And that had been something that they had struggled with this year, particularly through the first eight games. They were 19th in the league in terms of getting in the red zone, which is inside the 20-yard line, and then putting those possessions in the end zone. They had only done that half the time. To be able to do it last night the way they did, I thought that was a really encouraging sign, because, frankly, they've left points on the board this year.
You know, what's funny about that, Chris, is I thought actually they were struggling a little bit to start last night's game. They had two drives in the second quarter where they stalled deep in Broncos territory, and Gostkowski hit one 25-yard field goal and one 28-yard field goal. So they started the game just 1-for-3, and my reaction to the press box was, well, they didn't really get it fixed during the bye week, but then they finished the game with three straight touchdowns inside the red zone. Two of them came in the second half, where I wonder if maybe the Broncos started to give up a little bit in last night's game. I don't know if the Broncos played a 60-minute game. So it's good to see the Patriots finish, but I'm still not totally convinced that all their issues have been fixed. Their short yardage rushing hasn't been great either. Brady got stuffed on a run. They had another third and one that they weren't able to convert. That's been an issue for them this year, picking up these short yardage runs, running the ball along the goal line. And I'm not sure that their problems are all fixed, but certainly good to see the Patriots capitalizing in the red zone and, like I said, spreading the ball around to other guys than just Rob Gronkowski and Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, I think it's going to help, too, just the idea. And I think Martellus Bennett will help with that. And you mentioned being able to run the ball in. I think that's been one of their big issues in the red zone. And speaking of running the ball, when we come back, we're going to tell you who didn't run the ball last night and why that was big news. So there's much more to talk about with the Patriots' big victory in Denver with Ben Volen. Stay tuned for that. Welcome back. A quick note, if you like Season Ticket, be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, subscribing is the best way to make sure you get the latest episode as soon as it's available. All right, we're back here with Ben Volen of the Boston Globe. What a story in terms of Martellus Bennett being able to play for the Patriots. He got here basically early Friday morning, picked up on waivers from Green Bay, where he had a tumultuous situation, an acrimonious ending with the Packers. He has a torn rotator cuff. He told the Packers he wanted to have surgery on it. He was going to go on IR and that he was considering retirement. They decided to release him. They did so with a designation that allows them to go after some of his bonus money. He goes through waivers. He tells his agent, hey, I think I'm going to retire. You know, I don't want anybody to pick me up. The Patriots pick him up. He was a Patriot last year, won a Super Bowl ring. Belichick talks him into playing. And there he is. He's out there Sunday night with a torn rotator cuff. He plays 7 snaps. He has 3 catches on 3 targets for 38 yards.
Brady now is pressured, but he was able to get it off to Martellus Bennett, and Bennett back with New England. And a lot of people,
that's like the most Patriots thing ever.
And it has, you know, a lot of people around the NFL, mostly fans, crying foul that here the Patriots go again, stacking the deck and working behind the scenes to get Bennett back to New England. To me, it's just another case of Bill Belichick taking advantage of every situation that comes his way. You know, to me, no one twisted the Packers' arm. They didn't have to release him. I understand why they did. They were pretty sick and tired of him, and they want to try to go after his bonus money. But they could have easily just put him on injured reserve and sent him home. They didn't have to release him. And the Patriots had the 30th waiver priority. 28 other teams could have had him. There are many players in the league who are in similar situations to Bennett where they have an injury that will require surgery at some point. They could have it now, or they could put it off till the end of the season, and they're playing through injury. And, you know, if you're Bennett, it's a business decision. And I think when he was with Green Bay and Brett Hundley was his quarterback and not Aaron Rodgers, he said, why am I doing this to my body? It's not worth it. Our season's done. I'm just going to get surgery and shut it down. Then when the Patriots come calling, that's when you scratch your chin and say, okay, maybe I can put it off because it'd be kind of fun to go chase another Super Bowl with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I agree. And it takes me back to something that Robert Kraft, Patriots owner, told me in 2009 at the NFL owners meetings at that point in Dana Point, California. He talked about the Patriots winning, having a value with players, and he called it brand equity. And I think that was what was at play here. Because it's the Patriots, because they have 5 Super Bowls, because it's Brady and Belichick, a guy like Bennett looks at it and says, this is worth it. That's part of the mystique of the Patriots. It's part of the ethos of the Patriots, this brand equity idea. And I think you saw that on display Sunday night with Martellus Bennett. What you didn't see on display Sunday night was the running of running back Mike Gillisley, a big free agent acquisition. He was inactive in this game, Ben. He came into the game as the team's leading rusher. I think that surprised some people. Were you surprised that Mike Gillisley was inactive for this game?
I mean, definitely surprised when it was announced. Didn't see that one coming. He was a healthy scratch yesterday. But bigger picture, no, it's not surprising because he hasn't been running the ball well at all. He's only at 3.6 yards per carry for the season, which is, you know, you want to be at 4.0 if you're a running back. Has not been good on short yardage running situations, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1. Has not done a great job of replacing LeGarrette Blount. And then you add on top of it that he doesn't have the versatility really as a pass catcher. And then he doesn't have special teams value either. So kind of a limited player in this offense. And, you know, we all know how much the Patriots prize versatility and the more you can do. And so Mike Gillisley has a little bit ways to go here to work his way back into the graces. And Deion Lewis is running the ball so well that I'm not sure if Mike Gillisley can really do anything at this point. Lewis and Burkhead have really emerged as two nice players here in the offense. And then you add in James White. And I think it's just a numbers crunch, and they can't afford to try to get 4 guys at running back involved every week. Sometimes a guy like Gillisley is going to get frozen out.
Yeah, and in the beginning of the year, the guy getting frozen out was Deion Lewis. Now it looks like he's the primary running back, and he's averaged 4.5 yards per carry on the season. I wonder if this is a little bit of a message being sent by Bill Belichick to Mike Gillisley. Don't just assume we need you every week because there are other guys here that can get it done and that can do more than you can do. I do want to move on to the offensive line play because I think we would be remiss if we didn't give these guys the credit they deserve. We've seen many a game go south in Denver because of the Broncos' pass rush, particularly with Von Miller. There was some fear last night with no Marcus Cannon at right tackle. It could go that way. Tom Brady was excellent in this game, and he was excellent because he had time. 25 of 34, 266 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Sacked just one time, and it was on a blitz by a safety, Justin Simmons. So the Patriots offensive line and Adrian Waddle did a great job. You have to give it up for the Patriots offensive line.
Absolutely. Adrian Waddle, especially, to be a backup right tackle, to go in what is usually a tough environment at Mile High. It wasn't as tough on Sunday night. The place was not electric at all. You're used to not being able to hear yourself think and the floor shaking every time you're in there. And Broncos fans are just, they're kind of down on their team this year. So the crowd noise wasn't as much of an issue. But for Waddle to come in and handle Von Miller, Nate Solder as well, both of those guys I thought really stepped up and had a nice game. Von Miller had one tackle and one quarterback hit last night, which is so rare. He usually takes over the game when he plays the Patriots. Against the Chargers, Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa combined for 2 quarterback hits and 1 sack. So they faced Ingram, Bosa, and Von Miller the last 2 games, 1 sack and 3 hits total for those 3 guys. So tremendous job by the guys up front, by Coach Dante Scarnecchia, getting them ready. And I think the offensive line is like the defense. You know, it's the same 5 guys from last year. We know what they can do. Bad start to the season, and you're watching, and you're like, we know you can play better. We've seen them do it. And now that the season's going on, Dante's kind of got to figure it out. The communication's a lot better. They've been durable. You know, the one guy is Marcus Cannon, who's dealing with an ankle injury right now, and it looks like they might not get him back for this Raiders game either, and Khalil Mack. So another tough challenge coming up. But the offensive line, you have to give them a lot of credit for really improving as the season has gone along and done a great job of neutralizing these great pass rushers.
Yeah, Ben, with a little bit of news there, the idea that Marcus Cannon might not make it back for this game against the Oakland Raiders on Sunday, that game in Mexico City. The Patriots hanging out in Colorado. They're practicing this week at the United States Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. I do want to go around sort of the rest of the, we could say NFL, but really it's going to be AFC, Ben. I wanted to get your thoughts here. The Patriots have won 5 in a row. They're 7-2. That ties them with the Pittsburgh Steelers for the best record in the AFC right now. I thought it was a lackluster performance from the Steelers on Sunday. They barely scraped by former Patriots quarterback Jacoby Brissett and the Indianapolis Colts, a 20-17 victory in Indianapolis. When you look at the AFC right now, that race for the top overall seed, are the Patriots the clear favorites?
From my perspective, yes, because I don't believe in the Steelers. We've seen this movie too many times where the Patriots just carve them up. But that game in December in Pittsburgh, I think it's week 15. That's going to be
December
a huge
17th,
game.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely could be the number one seed at stake. The Steelers, to me, they've looked off all year. Le'Veon Bell had a really slow start. Ben Roethlisberger looks kind of disinterested at times. He had that awful game against the Jaguars. Yet here they are at 7-2, and they keep rolling along. And they didn't have a good game against the Colts yesterday, but I think you also have to give them credit for coming back from 17-3 and winning 2017. The Chiefs are still, I think, the top competition overall, but they're really starting to slide now. They're 2-3 in their last 5 games. You look at the AFC East, obviously it's just all starting to fall into place for the Patriots. The Bills have lost 2 in a row. They look like they might be turning into a pumpkin now at 5-4. The Dolphins are at 4-4. They've got a big game Monday night against the Panthers. If they lose that, boy, that really hurts their playoff chances. And then the Jets, surprisingly, at 4-6, but I still have a hard time taking them too seriously. So it's looking again like the Patriots are going to have this thing wrapped up pretty early, although they still have 5 of their 6 division games ahead of them. It's a very backloaded schedule, so probably won't be able to wrap it up too soon, but certainly to me, they're starting to look pretty good for Minneapolis in February.
Yeah, and just when you look at the Buffalo Bills, they have the longest playoff drought in major North American professional sports. They have not made the playoffs since 1999. Now they've lost 2 in a row. They lost at the Jets, and they got eviscerated at home on Sunday by the New Orleans Saints. The final score of that one, 47-10. The Saints ran for 298 yards and 6 touchdowns. And at one point in that game, the Saints ran 24 consecutive running plays, which is the ultimate sign of disrespect. It basically says, we're just going to keep running, and we know you can't stop us, and we are going to break your spirit, break your will, and break the back of your defense.
And I think that's exactly what you saw. It's got to be demoralizing for the Bills. And look, they had a great start to the season under new coach Sean McDermott. He really lit a fire under them. First year of a new program and, you know, new defensive schemes. They came out, they had a nice win against Atlanta early this year. But this is who the Bills are. I mean, they still are a team that doesn't, you know, have a great franchise quarterback. Tyrod Taylor is good enough.
Just good enough to not be good enough.
Exactly. You know, the defensive scheme, they're switching. This is a transition year from Rex's kind of 3-4 scheme back to Sean McDermott's 4-3 scheme that he ran with the Carolina Panthers for so many years. So, you have to give the Bills all kinds of credit for starting the season so well, but you kind of knew that they were going to fall back to earth at some point. And I just think you're seeing the regression to the mean for the Bills. This is who they are. They're more of a 500 team than a dominant team. And they're still in the mix for the playoffs. They're still clinging to that sixth spot. But I have a feeling that Bills fans are going to be waiting another year for a playoff appearance.
And just to tie it all back together, the New Orleans Saints are 7-2. The last team to beat them was the Patriots. New Orleans has reeled off 7 straight wins after an 0-2 start. The last team to do that, the 1993 Dallas Cowboys, who won the Super Bowl. All right, Ben, thank you so much for joining us. A lot of great Patriots talk. We had a lot to unpack there. I feel like sort of we were like Tom Brady and Gronk. We ran a great 2-minute drill.
Yeah, and we really executed inside the red zone, really finished off the drive there. So nice quarterbacking by you, Chris.
No, I appreciate it. Well, it's great when you have weapons like Ben Volen. That's Ben Volen of the Boston Globe, senior NFL writer. He joins us via Skype from Denver. Ben, we'll see you next time.
All right, can't wait.
And that's it for this edition of Season Ticket. Be sure to tell a friend about us and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like us, please leave a review. I'm Chris Gasper. We'll see you tomorrow.